Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We are in Judges chapter 7. This is God's Word. Early in the morning, Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all his men camped at the spring of Harod. The camp of Midian was north of them in the valley near the hill of Moreh. The Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many men for me to deliver Midian into their hands, in order that Israel may not boast against me that her own strength has saved her. Announce now to the people, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead." So 22,000 men left, while 10,000 remained. But the Lord said to Gideon, "There are still too many men. Take them down to the water, and I will sift them for you there. If I say, 'This one shall go with you,' he shall go. But if I say, 'This one shall not go with you,' he shall not go." So Gideon took the men down to the water. There the Lord told him, "Separate those who lap the water with their tongues like a dog from those who kneel down to drink." 300 men lapped with their hands to their mouths. All the rest got down on their knees to drink. The Lord said to Gideon, "With the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let the other men go, each to his own place." So Gideon sent the rest of the Israelites to their tents, but kept the 300 who took over the provisions and trumpets of the others. Now the camp of Midian lay below him in the valley. During that night, the Lord said to Gideon, "Get up, go down against the camp, because I am going to give it into your hands. If you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah and listen to what they are saying. Afterward, you will be encouraged to attack the camp." So he and Purah, his servant, went down to the outposts of the camp. The Midianites, the Amalekites, and all the other eastern peoples had settled in the valley thick as locusts. Their camels could no more be counted than the sand on the seashore. Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend his dream. "I had a dream," he was saying. "A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed." His friend responded, "This can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands." When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he worshiped God. He returned to the camp of Israel and called out, "Get up! The Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands." Dividing the 300 men into three companies, he placed trumpets and empty jars in the hands of all of them, with torches inside. "Watch me," he told them. "Follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. When I and all who are with me blow our trumpets, then from all around the camp, blow yours and shout, 'For the Lord and for Gideon!'" Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just after they had changed the guard. They blew their trumpets and broke the jars that were in their hands. The three companies blew the trumpets and smashed the jars. Grasping the torches in their left hands and holding in their right hands the trumpets they were to blow, they shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon!" While each man held his position around the camp, all the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. When the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords. The army fled to Beth Shittah toward Zerah, as far as the border of Abel-Meholah near Tabbath. Israelites from Naphtali, Asher, and all Manasseh were called out, and they pursued the Midianites. Gideon sent messengers throughout the hill country of Ephraim, saying, "Come down against the Midianites and seize the waters of the Jordan ahead of them as far as Beth Barah." So all the men of Ephraim were called out, and they took the waters of the Jordan as far as Beth Barah. They also captured two of the Midianite leaders, Oreb and Zeb. They killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb and Zeb at the winepress of Zeb. They pursued the Midianites and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon, who was by the Jordan. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. I love this story. I love it, first of all, because it illustrates God's power to give his people deliverance. God is the one who gave them victory. It was God's plan. It was God's design. And I love the fact that God's plan and design did not make any sense ahead of time. If you were Gideon, how would you feel? In the next chapter, we learn a little something about the numbers they were up against. Here we're told that their camels were too numerous to count. You might as well try and count the sand on the beach. But in the next chapter, we discover that it was somewhat over 130,000 swordsmen that they were up against. 130,000. Now just process that for a minute. That's a big number. 130,000 soldiers that they're supposed to fight against. And when Gideon is, out of obedience to the Lord, going up against that more than 130,000, he's only got 32,000. That's all he's got. If you're Gideon and you're looking at that situation, you're saying, this is going to take a miracle. God looks at that situation and says, Gideon, you have too many men. I mean, what? How can you possibly say that? I don't have enough men. I don't have nearly enough men. We are vastly outnumbered. And God says, here's what you do. Tell everybody who's scared they can go home. Well, who wants to admit that they're scared? Apparently most people. Given the opportunity to leave, most people left. Two-thirds. Gone. I mean, they just left. Now, if you're Gideon, how do you feel at that point? Kind of let down? Sort of betrayed? I mean, it was ridiculously scary before. Now that two-thirds of my troops are gone, that army didn't get any smaller over there, but you just shrank ours by two-thirds. I'm not liking these numbers. God says, I don't like them either. You still have too many men. What? How can God look at the situation and see it so opposite of the way we do? How can God say you have too many men when you've only got 10,000 against more than 130,000? Doesn't that seem ridiculous? But that's what God said. God said you have too many men. Now if you're Gideon and you're told that you have to choose which guys are going to be with you in the battle and which ones are going to go home, wouldn't you want to see how well they can shoot arrows and how well they handle a sword? Wouldn't you want to have some kind of training and winnowing process that enables you to say, okay, I'm going to keep an elite force. I got it. We're going to take the most vigorous, courageous, capable of persevering, and we're going to train them, and we're going to go in with that elite force and maybe wipe out the commanders. Something like that. I got it, God. Okay. And God says, no. I'll separate them for you. God says, I'm going to decide which ones stay and which ones go. Here's what we're going to do. Tell them all to get a drink and watch how they drink. There were only 300 guys who were going to go like this. Everybody else is going to put their face down against the stream. Hardly anybody qualified. And it had nothing to do with how well they shot a bow. Had nothing to do with how well they wielded a sword. Had nothing to do with how tall they were, or how fast they ran, or how much weight they could bench press. None of that counted. God simply wanted a ridiculously small number of people so that it would be abundantly clear that He is the one who saves.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. This program is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. You can hear Pastor Wood's teachings 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at pastorwood.org. And when you visit pastorwood.org, we would greatly appreciate it if you would tell us a little bit about yourself and, if possible, also make a donation to this ministry. So please visit pastorwood.org today or give us a call at 866-41-ABIDE.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
God deliberately called out someone who didn't see himself as the next great ruler. God deliberately chose a man who described himself as being the least in his family and his family as being the least in the tribe. God chose him because he didn't think, I'm tough, I'm great, I can do this. God chose him because God wanted to display his power. And then when he obeyed God after a lot of reassurances, over and over God offers him reassurance through signs and through his word. When he obeyed God and he assembled a fighting force of 32,000 volunteers, God said, that's too many. And he tells him what to do. And when Gideon obeys, his army doesn't grow. His army shrinks. Don't you ever feel like if you obey God, things ought to get better? Gideon is obeying God, and things look like they're getting worse. God says, say this. He says it, and two-thirds of his troops disappear. That doesn't make me want to obey. God says, I still don't like these numbers. Here's what I want you to do next. He does it, and almost everybody goes home. He's left with 300 out of 10,000. Out of 10,000, he's got 300 left. I don't think this obedience thing is working. Oh, yeah, it is. Depends on what your goal is. Is your goal to have a plan B? Is your goal to have a parachute? Is your goal to be able to do this even if God doesn't come through? Or is your goal to be obedient, even if it costs you your life? And so Gideon does what God says, and it looks really grim. But after he's obeyed, God says, okay, now you're ready to go down there and conquer. I'm not sure about this. God says, okay, here's what you do. If you're still not sure, take your servant, because you always like to have somebody with you, and go down the hill and listen to what's being said in the Midianite camp. So he obeys. Again, he was sent. It wasn't his idea. He does what God told him to do. And when he does what God told him to do this time, it is an amazing reassurance. I think this is hilarious. Because he comes up to a tent and he hears two men talking inside, two of the Midianites. And one of them says, oh, I just had a horrible dream. A loaf of barley bread rolled down the hill and smashed our tent. Well, that's odd. But what is more odd is that the other guy immediately gives an interpretation. And his interpretation is marvelous. He says, this can be nothing other. I wonder if maybe this is. It's not what he says. You know, sometimes you hear somebody's dream and you say, well, I wonder if that's, you know, kind of a picture of this or that or whatever. That's not what he says. This can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands. Okay, two pagans are talking. One of them has received a vision from the Lord. I didn't know God could give visions to people who are not saved. Oh yeah, absolutely. In fact, there are people all around the world who in the last 10 years have come to faith in Jesus Christ because God sent them a vision that pointed them to the scriptures or to a church or to missionaries. There are people getting saved right now because God is sending dreams and visions to call forth his own people and give them eternal life. Here's a pagan getting a vision from God and another pagan who gets the interpretation and speaks the word of God that is not so much for the benefit of his intended audience, who he thought he was talking to. It's for the audience that he doesn't even know is outside the tent. You and I don't know how many times what we say and do impacts other people that we're not even seeing. Parents making an impact on their children. Grandparents on their grandchildren. Citizens on their neighbors. Co-workers on each other. You don't know who may be listening. You don't know who may be watching. But even unsaved people can speak a word from God that will have an impact on others. And that's what happened right here. We need to realize God is bigger than we give him credit for. And he is at work accomplishing his purpose. And he used these two pagans in a tent in order to reassure his servant outside. And Gideon went back up the mountain, charged and ready to go. So now we got to have a strategy. I've got 300 men. We're going to surround the camp where the Midianites are located. Now, let's see. Okay, I think we better divide into a few groups here. So he divides them up. And then he says, follow my lead. That's good instructions from a leader. You do what I do. That's good instructions. Parents, that's good instructions. Do what I do. But the way these guys are equipped seems to me very impractical. Are you right-handed or left-handed? Because you want to hold your sword in whichever hand you're most proficient with. Well, actually, we're going to do it a little differently. We're going to give you a trumpet, and we're going to give you an empty jar, and we're going to give you a torch. You need to carry the torch inside the jar so that it can't be seen, okay? So you're going to have a torch in a jar and a trumpet. Okay, excuse me. What is the problem with this if I'm supposed to go into battle? Do I hit them with the jar, or do I hit them with the trumpet? Or do I just play so badly that they'll all want to leave? I mean, what do I do? What's happening here? This doesn't seem like a good battle plan, does it? I mean, we're totally outnumbered and we're going to surround them. I mean, that means we're kind of spread out. In order to be that spread out, what would it look like to the Midianites when they wake up? Because this is the middle of the night. They wake up and they see torches all the way around their camp. And they picture what? Huge army. These are the people who are leading the charge. I mean, the people with the torches. Torches basically come into view when the jars are broken. Picture the sound of 300 jars being broken all around you. In every direction, there's this crashing sound of breakage. And when you come and look out of your tent, you see lights surrounding you. And they shout what they were told to shout. And apparently, I mean, it's amazing to me that they had heard of Gideon. But they had. And when they heard that shout, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon, and then they blew their trumpets, it's like we're about to be overrun by our enemies. And they panic. God causes his enemies to panic. And they start slaughtering each other. They're fighting and trying to get away, and they're running in all directions. Well, did the 300 have swords? Did they kill people too? Absolutely. But God caused his enemies to do the majority of the work for him. Did you know that God is still causing his enemies to do work for him? What was Satan's great triumph? He finally succeeded in getting the Son of God nailed to a cross. Except when Jesus was nailed to the cross, everything that Satan had on us was nailed to the cross. And now Satan's empty-handed. He has just accomplished his defeat. Jesus triumphed over all the forces of darkness, Satan and all his legions. Jesus triumphed over them by the cross. The victory came through the enemies of God having it their way. Wow. Folks, you and I need to understand that the God we serve is a God who is able to take really bad stuff and make something beautiful. His grace is sufficient for us. And we need to find our security in the fact that our God is always on the throne. And even when it looks like things are getting worse, we've gone from 32,000 down to 10,000, down to 300, and now we're supposed to do this goofy plan with the jar and the torch and the trumpet. I mean, that just doesn't seem like an elite battle force. God says, I'll take care of it. God will take care of it. God will do everything he promised. And if you look at what happened, when the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords. That's verse 22. The army fled to Beth Shittah toward Zerah, as far as the border of Abel-Meholah near Tabbath. Israelites from Naphtali, Asher, and all Manasseh were called out, and they pursued the Midianites. Gideon sent messengers throughout the hill country of Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites, seize the waters of the Jordan ahead of them as far as Beth Barah. So all the men of Ephraim were called out, and they took the waters of the Jordan as far as Beth Barah. They also captured two of the Midianite leaders, Oreb and Zeb. They killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb and Zeb at the winepress of Zeb. How did they happen to land at those places that were named for those guys? They named the places for those guys because that's where they were killed. Okay? Why would they name a place for some pagan king? Because they weren't supposed to forget what God had done. This was one of the people who caused dread to fall upon them. This was one of the people who viciously persecuted and exploited them. And now, that's where he was killed, right over there. Okay? Remember that guy we were all terrified of? Died right there. That's the spot. Let me tell you something. The enemies of God may seem really scary. They may be real impressive. But it amounts to nothing. The Lord, our God, reigns. And his enemies will be destroyed. Don't be his enemy. He offers terms of peace to people like you and me who were his enemies. And he invites us to stop fighting him and surrender and become his children. That's amazing. That's the gospel. Because of Jesus Christ, you and I can be reconciled to the God who alone is God.
Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.